Well, welcome to church. If you're joining us here today, we're on the second part of a two-part message on welcome and hospitality. And we find out that there's actually more to it than Minnesota nice or South Dakota nice, or some of you are from North Dakota, North Dakota nice. Actually, welcome and hospitality is a little deeper than nice. Somebody say, that's nice. That's nice. So to catch us up, last week we focused on welcoming people into the church. Every church wants to be known as a welcoming church. And we may be to each other, you know, in our relationships, we're very welcoming. But we find out that not all people experience that every church is a welcoming church, especially if they're coming for a visit on the first time. So we want to figure out what makes a welcoming church. So we look at what the Bible says, and the Bible focuses on acceptance. That welcome is acceptance. Jesus said that he came to seek and save the lost, that he came to reach out to those who were on the outside, that he wanted to bring those who were far away back to God, that he was all about reaching out, and he demonstrated it with a radical acceptance of those on the outside, a radical acceptance to strangers, and that's how we want to be. We want to express radical welcome and acceptance because people are waiting to be invited in. So last week we looked at some surprising statistics. They tell a different story maybe than the one that we have heard, the narrative that we've heard, that the church in America is what? Dying, right? And that especially in rural and small town congregations, you know, the church is going to disappear in 20 years. And yet we find out that the story says that the church is in steep decline, that people that grew up in the church and quit going to church are never going to come back to the church, or that people who have never been part of a church, they never will. And it's kind of a depressing story. But Rick Richardson, he works with the Billy Graham Institute and Lifeway Research, he has some real statistics that show a different picture. And these are worth engaging, worth hearing again. So last week we talked about 70% of people who are unchurched, mean 70% of people who aren't part of a church currently in America actually identify as Christians. So they're already feel like they are waiting to be included. 45% of the unchurched say that they expect to go regularly to church sometime in the future. So of those people who are not currently part of a church, almost half of them expect that at one point they are going to be a regular part of a church. Now, that is encouraging to me. That's encouraging, I think, to us as the church. And they found out that 75% say that an invitation by a friend or family member would be effective in getting them to visit a congregation. So in other words, what's keeping them from coming? It's simply an invitation by a friend or family member to say, come and join me. So thanks for being here today. That's awesome. It tells me also that there's a harvest waiting. Jesus said the harvest is plentiful. And it's true. There's a harvest waiting. So we're being challenged to awaken our missional imagination to be the church in the world that Jesus calls us to be the church that invites those who are waiting to be invited with a warm welcome. I think our kids here at Bethlehem Church, they do that. Our kids are amazing. It seems every week they are inviting new kids, new friends, new family members to come and be part of our Wednesday night Bible Blast ministry or Be Bold or youth group. There's always new kids coming. And that shows me that our kids, they get this. Our kids actually lead us in this work of welcoming others into the church. They get it. They know it. They have a missional imagination. It could be that they just simply want to invite their friends and they don't think that much about it. But is it any different for the rest of us? So we're being challenged with that same kind of following Jesus. The scripture says that Andrew followed Jesus, and it says the first thing Andrew did was find his brother Simon and tell him, "We have found the Messiah." That's the Christ. And he brought him to Jesus. And later on, Jesus found Philip, and Philip says he went and found Nathanael, and what did he do? He brought him to Jesus. So followers of Jesus, they bring people to Jesus. So kids, you're doing that, and I think it's amazing. You're doing a fantastic job, and I want to, as the church, acknowledge that. I want us to give a round of applause and acknowledge that God is at work in our kids. Amazing. So how do kids know that the church welcomes them here? How do they know that they are accepted? Well, if you have been sitting out in the fellowship hall, or if you will do that after church and go to the hospitality counter and grab some coffee and maybe some food and sit down at the table, I would advise that you don't sit too close to that far corner. You know why? Because you may get a basketball on top of your table. There's a basketball hoop back there, or three basketball hoops now, and it's always busy. There's always some kids there shooting and playing basketball. Now, why do we do that? Because we want Xander to work harder as the facilities specialist cleaning up the messes. No, actually, Xander, that's not it. The reason we do that is we want our kids to know that they're welcome here, that they matter, that we provide ways and opportunities for them to be engaged, and especially in their free time, to enjoy their time here, because that's what the church is about. That's what the body of Christ is, belonging, coming, and enjoying life together. So we have some basketball hoops back there, and it matters. We're extending a welcome that says, come and see, come and enjoy yourself. You matter because you matter to Jesus. The passage said, Jesus called the little children and said, let the little children come to me and do not hinder them, for the kingdom of God belongs to such as these. We want to be good at welcoming, and we want to do it better and better, but that's not all it means to be, that we want to be good at. So what happens when we invite someone, they come, we welcome them, they feel welcomed, and they come back? What happens when someone returns? What is our experience? Well, we want to drive down on that today. We want to be welcome to church part two, and it's about being an intentional conversion community. And so that's kind of a long word. What does that mean? It basically means that a conversion community is a church community where people not only feel welcome, but they feel like they belong. A community where people feel like they belong, where they matter. We all need to belong, don't we? We all know what it feels like to be on the outside. We all know that feeling like if someone would just extend a welcome, if someone would just come alongside me, it would make such a difference. How do we engage that missional imagination that allows us to be that community where people belong? How does that happen? Well, one of the ways we do that is we be a church willing to embrace belonging before believing. Belonging before believing. Say that with me. Belonging before believing. And what does that mean? Well, we practice belonging before believing when we get really good at hospitality that sticks. Hospitality that sticks is bringing people to Jesus, finding their way back to God. When I was finding my way back to church, about that time I had met Cheryl, and we had gotten married. We were attending her home church in Morris. And there was a man named Harold Anderson. And Harold Anderson, he must have been a greeter. But the thing is, at that time, I didn't know what a greeter was. I didn't know what a greeter did. All I knew is that Harold, he would always come up to me and grab me and say, hello, how you doing? It's so good to see you here. And just made me feel completely welcome. He made me feel like I belonged. The thing that that I never quite understood, though, is he would always greet me and say, hello, Steve. But, you know, it didn't matter because I knew that he loved me. I knew that he cared about me. I knew that he wanted me to be there. And I could tell, I really did know that Harold cared about Steve. He cared about me. So he practiced this biblical definition of hospitality, which is welcoming a stranger. Welcoming a stranger. In his chapter in the book of Revelations, Paul, he writes about love in action. And he says this, he says, share with the Lord's people who are in need, practice hospitality. Share and practice hospitality. Share and welcome the stranger. It seems like those often go hand in hand, sharing and welcoming a stranger. Joshua Jipp, in his book, Saved by Faith Through Love and Hospitality, he provides a lens to view this welcoming of strangers. He says, hospitality is the act or process whereby the identity of the stranger is transformed into that of a guest. The stranger becomes a guest. I like that. You know, we all know what it's like to invite a guest into our house, that we prepare for them, we plan for them, we welcome them, we serve them. That's what we do for a guest. And that's what the biblical example of hospitality is. We welcome in the stranger and treat them as a guest. Hospitality then transforms. In biblical times, hospitality was a serious business. It was a necessity. Hospitality was expected. When people were traveling, they had no hotels to go to, no Wheaton Inns to stop in. And so they would go to those along the way, and the people along the way would then practice hospitality. They would give shelter and food and protection. They would recognize a person's worth and value in that common humanity of sharing because that person is in need, even though the person is a stranger. So a stranger is becoming a guest. I like that description. It's who we want to be today as a church, welcoming the strangers to be our guest. Joshua Jipp, he says it's an act in process. In other words, showing hospitality means we have to have skin in the game. It means that we have to be intentional in demonstrating hospitality that sticks. It goes beyond welcome to church. Brody? This winter, a person new to our community, a visitor to the church, had come up to me after a worship service and asked if I knew anyone who could help remove some snow. And I happened to just share that at the end of service. And several of you came up to me afterwards, and I kind of picked one of you to go and connect with this person. And you did. You went and took care of them, moved snow, and it was a great blessing to them. But then the amazing thing is the next time it snowed, again, you showed up at their place and removed their snow without any expectation of anything in return. You just took care of it. And that was an amazing act of hospitality for that person. They were so grateful that you did that. And it not just brought them from being a stranger to a friend for you, but also a friend of the church. That's what I call radical hospitality. That's the kind of hospitality that I believe we are called to as the church, the hospitality that makes a difference. It's central, this radical hospitality. It's central to the gospel. It's the kind of hospitality that we are shown by God. So the Apostle Paul, he writes in his letter to the church, he says this. He says, church, God demonstrated his own love for us in this, that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us. That while we were strangers, Christ died for us. While we were on the outside, Jesus went out of his way to demonstrate a radical hospitality by dying on the cross so that we could be welcomed into his family, into the kingdom of heaven. God's hospitality and love, it changes the very identity of who we are. We go from sinner apart from God to becoming God's beloved child. Right, Remy? Becoming God's beloved child. And that's what the Morris Church demonstrated for me years ago, that radical hospitality that made a difference. You know, and that is what I remember, which disturbs me a little bit because the preacher was a good preacher and he preached a lot of good sermons, but I don't really remember those. What I do remember is Harold's radical hospitality to Steve. I mean, to me. So how do we cultivate that kind of culture of welcome, that culture of hospitality? Well, I think by practicing two B's. So in your sermon notes today, there's a B and an A. These are going to both be B's. So two B's to think about when we think about practicing hospitality. And the first one is this, belonging. Belonging. So biblical hospitality demonstrates that the stranger belongs, that they are welcome, that you and I aren't on the outside, we are brought in. So let's look at Luke's passage again on welcoming little kids. Why are the children highlighted in this passage? It says people were bringing babies to Jesus for him to place his hands on them. You know, kind of a blessing that would take place in the Jewish culture. When the disciples saw this, they rebuked them, meaning they drove them away. So when we put ourselves in this biblical culture, things were a little different there. You know, today we, for the most part, we value children, that we see them as intrinsic value, that they have great worth. We cherish our kids. But in the biblical times of Jesus, and especially outside of the Jewish culture, the children weren't really valued that much. They didn't have that kind of human dignity. In fact, they were almost a disposable part of society. But the Jewish culture, they looked at it differently. They said babies are a blessing from God. Children are important. Children are God's way of showing his favor and blessing. But even the disciples at that time, they didn't see them as worthy of using up Jesus' time. That they didn't want them there because it would be wasting his time. But Jesus called the children to him and said, "Let the little children come to me. Do not hinder them." He stopped them. "For the kingdom of God belongs to such as these." So I think Jesus is certainly elevating the importance of kids in the culture, the importance of kids in the community of faith. They belong. Jesus commands that. We want to practice that. And at Bethlehem, I think we do that. We want kids in worship. We want kids in the church. We want families and parents with kids to be here. And if that means a little extra noise, well, that's what babies do, right? That's what little kids do. They make noise. Praise God, right? That's what they're supposed to do. But, you know, if they get louder than me, maybe that's a good time to take them out and just, you know, spend some time out there. But, you know, that we have space to do that too. So we want to welcome families, kids, children. But there's more in this passage that we can take away than just welcoming kids. It's about belonging. Jesus accepts the kids as they are, right? They belong. He doesn't require anything of them. He just says, "Let them come. Let them come to me." And it paints a beautiful picture, I believe, about the kind of hospitality that the church should imitate. Come as you are. You belong. Come as you are. Jesus wants all people to come to him. Jesus invites the little children as they are. Come. He invites the poor and the outcast as they are. He says, come. He invites the lame and the sick as they are. He says, come. He invites sinners as they are. He says, come. He invites the weary and burdened to come. He invites the broken and the left out as they are to come, find grace and healing. He invites the lonely and the left out to come, find peace. He invites the non-religious and the irreligious and the no religious or the wrong religious to come and be part. Come, follow him. Come, belong as you are. He invites you and me near and far as we are. He says, come. Come to me. Come. You belong. So his disciples, they weren't sure about that. But Jesus rebuked them. That means he corrected them strongly. He said, nope, you're wrong. Disciples, you've got this wrong. That's not right. I want everyone to come to me as they are. They belong. Are we okay with that? Yeah? Are we okay with that? Come as you are. We want to let people come and belong. And it's demonstrating that unconditional hospitality to strangers. To those that are unimportant to others, they are significantly important to us because they're significantly important to Jesus. Come as they are, and Jesus says, who they are. The disciples thought the kids were nobody, but Jesus calls them somebodies. The kingdom of God belongs to such as these, to nobodies who are really somebodies. And the key is that unconditional hospitality that Jesus extends. He doesn't pressure little kids to be something they're not. Instead, he loves them as they are, and he invites strangers to come and follow him to be transformed. You know, I love the Alpha that we do here. It's running right now. It's a program that we gather together. We have a great meal. We watch a video film series each night we gather, and then we have dessert and eat some more, and then we gather around the tables and we have discussion and talk about what we've watched, but talk about the questions we have, and we begin to build relationships together. And this week I had three prayer requests from that group that I am quite sure I would have never even known about had we not become friends around the table. And so we were able to pray for one another in those requests. We were able to intercede and lift one another up because we all felt like we belong. And that's what happens when we welcome the stranger in and begin to do life together. We find out that we have friends around the table. If you are around tonight at 6 o'clock, you're welcome to come and be part of Alpha. There's a place at the table for you. So belonging means accepting one another, who we are, as we are. It also means allowing others to contribute. Belonging allows people to contribute. How are we doing so far? I invite you to put your hands up, wiggle them around a little bit, take a deep breath, one, two, three. Let it out, one, two, three. Now fix your person's hair in front of you that you just blew sideways. All right. So Jesus had an interesting conversation with his disciples about contributing. He said, "Teacher," said John, "we saw someone driving out demons in your name, and we told him to stop because he was not one of us." How interesting. That guy didn't belong. "Don't stop him. Do not stop him," Jesus said, "for no one who does a miracle in my name can in the next moment say anything bad about me. For whoever is not against us is for us." In other words, they belong. "Truly I tell you, anyone who gives you a cup of water in my name because you belong to the Messiah will certainly not lose their reward." So belonging is demonstrated by allowing people to contribute, to be part of what God is doing with their gifts and talents and helping them in ways we might think are only for seasoned believers. Belonging and participating. We allow people to serve. For example, there's a board out there that has a list that you can sign up on if you have or if you would like to serve food to all the people that come on Wednesday night. We have a lot of people coming, and for some of you, that gift of hospitality is a great way that you can demonstrate a way that you want to share and want to belong. And there's other ways we do that. The kids do a program where they sponsor Annie and Zula from the Congo, and they, throughout the spring, through the summer, they haul and pick up recyclables, and the money that they generate goes to help support Annie and Zula and her whole community, and it's about transforming the community. In fact, at this point, we have, are those statistics up there? They're not. There is a whole bunch of people that get water, and they have sanitation. 32,000 people that are helped by this in one of the poorest countries in the world, and it makes a difference. It impacts people's lives for good. So we are inviting people to come and to participate. Come and belong. And through belonging to become, number two, believing. So hospitality leads to believing. Some of you here today may be thinking, there's the catch. It's all about getting me to believe in something I don't really believe in. But you know, the truth is, that's not it at all. We allow people to have doubts. We allow people to engage in this journey. We allow people to belong and begin to discover what it means to be a follower of Jesus, what it means to believe. But that choice is always your choice. It's always between you and Jesus. Sometimes we have doubts. We don't have it all figured out. As Sarah Ames, she shares this story of her 7-year-old daughter, Jessica. She's a deep thinker when it comes to theological questions. Recently, we discussed why bad things happen. Sometimes rereading the story of Adam and Eve and how sin came into the world. And later that week, Jessica was ill. She had to stay home from school, and feeling miserable, she told me, "If only Adam and Eve hadn't eaten the fruit, I wouldn't be sick." And before I could answer, she added, "Of course, if they didn't eat it, we'd be sitting here naked." So we all have questions. But we point to the one who has the answers. We point to Jesus. He's the one who invites people to come. He says, "I am the way." He says, "I am the truth." He says, "I am the life." Come and belong and come to believe. Come to me. So we're not hiding who we are. At the core, we are those who have been far away and have now been brought close through Jesus Christ and faith in him. We come and belong in the family of God. So this morning, as I said, one of my favorite things is baptism, and I get to baptize Remy. And when we do that, it makes me think about, you know, God's unconditional hospitality, his unconditional welcome. You know, there's nothing that Remy can do to earn her way into heaven. There's nothing that Remy can do. She can't confess her belief, and yet she belongs. She can't say she's sorry, even though she's a child of sinners. Matt and Jess, we all are, so that's okay, all right? She's welcomed who she is. And Remy can't do anything, can't display good deeds, she can't display hospitality, she can only sleep and eat and smile a little bit and poop a lot. Yet the Bible says this. It says, "See what great love the Father has lavished on us, that we should be called children of God, for that is who we are." Remy belongs that she might believe. John writes it in his gospel. He says, "Yet to all who did receive him, to those who believe in his name, he gave the right to become children of God." And isn't it the same for each of us today? We belong so that we might believe. I have a verse up on the screen that's going to be there, and I've personalized it to help us understand what it means to really belong, this hospitality that God has extended to us. And I want you to say that with me, if you would. "See what great love the Father has lavished on me, that I should be called a child of God, and that is what I am." That is what you and I are, children of God by faith in Jesus. That's who we are at our core, as followers, making followers of Jesus. And I want to get personal now. In just the closing moments, I want to invite us to recognize where we stand in that area of welcome and hospitality. I want to give you space to recognize the invitation we have. Maybe you've been part of the church, you've belonged for a while, but you recognize deep in your heart that you are not necessarily included, that you feel somehow on the outside. If that sounds like something that's going on in your heart, then I invite you today to come in, accept that invitation. Or maybe you know that today you need to come home. that to be a child of God, you know, you really do need to accept Jesus. I want to give that opportunity. This is real. Jesus isn't asking you to do something right now. He's inviting you to receive something right now. He wants to take all of your sin, to take away all of your burden, to set you free. The Bible says, all who call on the name of the Lord will be saved. And that is the invitation today. That can happen right now. God is all about loving strangers who are far off and bringing them in near. And so I invite us to bow our head, if you would, just to allow your neighbor some privacy to connect with God. The Bible says, God so loved the world that he gave his one and only Son, that whoever believes in him will not perish, but have everlasting life. Jesus recorded in the book of Revelation saying, here I am. I stand at the door and knock. And anyone who opens the door, I will come in and eat with them and they with me. That is the experience of the unconditional hospitality of the Father. By putting our faith in Jesus, the Son of God, we come home. So with your eyes down or closed today, if anyone is in need of that today, if anyone needs to ask Jesus to come into their life, to forgive your sin, to belong, then Jesus says, come. If you say it with your mouth and believe it in your heart, you will be saved. A simple prayer that says, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry. Lord Jesus, I've been on the outside. I want to come home. I want to belong. Jesus, forgive my sin and welcome me into your family. Jesus, fill me with your life. Overflow with your Holy Spirit in me that I may know your love, and Lord, that I may share your love with those around me. Thank you, Jesus, today that I am a child of God. Amen. The Bible says we love because God first loved us. And so when we are filled with God's love, then we are able to share that love through radical welcome and unconditional hospitality, that others may know the love that we have. And so as we close today, I invite you, if anyone has said that prayer today for the first time or recommitted your life, come find me or come find Pastor Greg. We would like to know and celebrate and give you some resources on how to begin to walk out that new life in Christ. And for each one of us today, as we go and pursue this life of being a follower of Jesus, I invite you to practice unconditional hospitality in Jesus' name.